This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Our message for this session was first published back in the month of May of the year 2013, and it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is taken from the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. Is God speaking? He says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." The title for this particular message is If. I want you to take special consideration to that subject scripture. Now I want you to listen to or take a look at these other scriptures. Romans chapter 8, verse number 31. "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Isaiah chapter 1, starting at verse number 19. "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Verse 20. "But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Matthew chapter number 21 and verse number 21. He said, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. What do all these scriptures have in common? That two-letter word, if. There are many other passages of scripture in the Bible that also use this word, but suffice it to say, I am not going to name them all. Let's examine just what the significance of this word is. First, if is, among other things, a conjunction. That simply means it joins two conditional ideas together in one sentence, meaning in order for both parts of the sentence to be true, a certain condition has to be met. Looking at the subject scripture, for example, we are told the only way to get our land healed and back on track is if God's people or Christians turn back to Him and repent. The next passage tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Once again, a certain condition has to be met. The next passage sets up the condition that if we be willing and obedient to Him, we shall eat the good of the land. The next verse of that passage gives us a warning as to what will happen if we refuse and rebel. The last scripture sets up the condition of if we have faith in God through Jesus Christ, we will be able to move mountains. All of these scriptures and others present us with a choice to make. Make the right one and we will be blessed. Make the wrong one and we will be cursed. In our everyday lives, we often put ourselves in the position of making promises to do things. We make dates, sign contracts, car notes, mortgages, and the like, and we don't give it a second thought as to if we will be able to fulfill the obligation we have put on ourselves. If I say to you, I will meet you tomorrow at a certain time, even if I don't mention it, it is readily implied that I will meet you if I am able to. The thing is, there are always prerequisites that have to be met before a certain result can be achieved. Our problem today, when it comes down to God, is that too many of us think it is an automatic thing, irregardless of how we act towards Him, that He is right there with us to support whatever we are trying to do. I know people, some saved and some not, that are living their lives to please themselves, that take the stance that God is for them no matter what. They conveniently ignore that word if. It is as if God has no choice in the matter. When we take the position that God just has to support what we are doing or trying to do, then when things get hard or fall apart, as they inevitably will, then we figure it has to be some test that we have to go through to prove our faith in Him, or the other alternative is God isn't the God that we thought He is. It never enters into our carnally, worldly-minded, oriented minds that He is the one that is tearing down what we are trying to do, because we are at complete odds with Him. In the little space that I have left on this track, let's look at a brief summary of the scriptures that I mentioned in more detail. The subject scripture is addressed to one particular group of people, and that is Christians. We hold the key as to whether this nation can be turned around from the edge of destruction. We say, and what we say and what we do has to be in line with God in order for Him to move to heal this land. Make no mistake about it. If God doesn't do it, it won't get done. Our problem is too many of us get caught up in the carnal mindedness or worldly way of thinking, where we tend to believe there are certain things where God should be involved, and then there are other things where we think we don't really need His input. Let me tell you this, if it wasn't for God's input, you wouldn't be able to breathe. So just what part of what's happening in your life do you think God is not needed? Anyway, He says, if we will turn from our wicked ways, again, talking about Christians, He will forgive our sin and will heal our land. Once again, that is if we do it. We then go to Romans chapter 8, verse number 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Here we see the assurance that as long as God is for us, He is, as many say, more than the world against us. There is nothing that anyone can do that will cause us to be defeated with God on our side. Of course, the prerequisite is if He is on our side. If He is not, then you are essentially out there on your own. And sad to say, many Christians are out there on their own when it comes to certain areas of their lives, because they choose to leave him out of many of their decisions that they make. Then they wonder why they are having such a hard time. God needs to be a part of everything we say and do, or else we are headed for trouble. Next, we have Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 19. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Verse 20. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. This is almost self-explanatory. You have two options. You can either be willing and obedient to God, and as a result, have all of the best life and the land has to offer, or you can refuse and rebel and suffer the consequences of being destroyed. Many Christians today tend to believe erroneously that Christ does not bring what we call evil on us, as was done in the Old Testament times. Let me explain it to you this way. Take electricity. It is one of the things that we totally depend on. Practically everything we do or have is the result of electricity. Imagine a world without it. However, as great a friend as it is to us, if we handle it the wrong way, it will kill us. Does that make it bad? Of course not. We mishandled it, and the inherent properties of it caused us to suffer. Well, the same thing goes with Christ. As long as you play by the rules, you have blessing. However, if you choose to ignore the rules and do things the way that you want to do them, then don't blame Christ for what happens to you. In fact, if you think about it, you can't even blame the devil for it. God put the warning out there and you refused to heed it. Now you are paying the price. We then have this scripture, Matthew chapter 21, verse number 21. Jesus is saying, answered, he says unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Here, Jesus is encouraging his disciples by telling them that under the right conditions, they will be able to do great things. Once again, if is the key. Have you ever wondered why it is so many Christians are suffering all sorts of problems like job loss, homelessness, illness, poverty, loss of loved ones, mental problems, and the like? Especially when Jesus told them that they could do great things. It is because they stopped operating by faith in God and His Word and started operating according to what the family member, friend, or group or other entity said that was out of line with God's Word. Jesus told His followers in St. John chapter 14 and verse number 12, He says, starting at verse number 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Verse 14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Verse number 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." When we consider all of the things that Jesus said while he was here on earth, as the Bible says, there is not enough room to write them all down. Then we have him telling his disciples or the church that they would do greater works than he did because he was going to the Father. Can anyone tell me where miracles like the one Jesus did are going on a consistent basis in this nation? Name a church if you can. What has happened is too many preachers have lost their focus on God through Christ and are now focused on economics. That means saying and doing things that will draw more people into the church, which in turn leads to more money in the offering basket. They adopt the idea that the best way to get more people in the congregations is to be politically correct, go along to get along, tell the people what they want to hear, and so on. It is all about business, paying the bills and such. What they fail to consider is, if their church was demonstrating the power of the gospel, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verses 4 and 5, like healing the sick, opening blinded eyes, unstopping deaf ears, causing the lame to walk, causing those possessed with devils to have their minds cleared, and so on, their churches would be filled. They wouldn't have enough room to seat the people. But of course, that is not the way it is in most of our churches today, because they have lost their primary focus, and that is faith in God. What we need, starting with Christians, is to turn from the wickedness of our sinful ways. Oh yes, we have evil ways. Then God will heal our land. It is not the sinners or the unsaved that are the problem. It is not even the devil. But it is those of us that name the name of Christ that are the real problem. We can, through Christ, change the nation and the world, for that matter, if. Well, that's the end of this message, and I hope you can see the clear picture of what the message is saying to you. there's so much here that, like I say, I just barely scratched the surface. But there's so much that the church is missing out on, Christians are missing out on, that could very easily be achieved if we would take God and His Word seriously. But we don't. We play around with His Word. Somebody comes in and tries to tell us something that we don't want to hear that's from the Word of God, but we don't want to hear it because it interferes with our way of thinking and so forth, so we discard it or make fun of the person that brought the message to us, and then we wonder why things are going the way that they're going. They're going like that because if you're rejecting one of God's messengers, then essentially, like God told Moses when the children of Israel, and in another instance, Saul, I think it was, one of the prophets or something, when they would the people were talking about the fact that they wanted to have a king, just like all of the other nations around them had, and they didn't want to be dealing with a god that they couldn't see or anything else like that, and they were just hard pressing the prophet Samuel. They were pressing Samuel to try to get God to let them have a king, so much so that God finally let them have one. But like he told Samuel, he said, don't worry about the fact of them rejecting you, because they haven't rejected you, they rejected me from being God over their lives. And that's what happens when people reject the Word of God. They don't want God in that area of their lives. They might want Him in certain parts of their lives, especially when it comes down to the blessings and things, or you let them get sick or something, or be on their deathbed or something, or some tragedy hits them, or they calling out for God all over the place then, see. But other than that, they want no parts of Him. When they're out here having fun and everything's going good for them, now all of a sudden they don't want to have anything to do with God, and so they basically make their own bed rough, and then now they got to sleep in it, and then they wonder why, and they say, well, God ain't the same, God's not God doesn't do those types of things, those miracles and anything else like that anymore. Well, evidently somebody forgot to tell Him, because He still does things like that for me. And I'm not the only one He does things like that for. But once again, you have to be in the right spiritual condition and relationship as it pertains to Him. All of these are available to you if you will be willing and obedient to do what He says do. And people just don't want to do that. Well, that's all for this message. And in closing, let me just say, may God bless you and your family real good till we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Until then, good day.